السلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض، او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, the current topic nowadays is that we find ourselves at the beginning of a new Islamic year, beginning of a new lunar calendar. 1440 years have passed since the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we still have Deenul Islam in the dunya today. This is the same deen, respected friends and elders, that the kuffar of Makkah had said, قُلْ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. We are waiting for him. With the passage of time, he will diminish, his religion also will diminish. The kuffar of Makkah were so powerful in that zamana, and they suppressed Islam, they oppressed the Muslims to the most and best of their abilities. But still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِيهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring His nur of hidayat and the deen of Islam to completion and perfection, even if the kuffar don't like it. It is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that today, 1440 years later, after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are able to worship Allah, follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The knowledge of deen has remained, and practices of deen have remained. Respected friends and elders, it may be a dawn of a new year, but if we introspect in our lives, if we look throughout the globe, it is unfortunately the same old thing. It's this, and that is that Muslims are suffering throughout the globe. And that is that Muslims on a general scale are degenerating year by year, year by year. So if this year we find some sort of degeneration, then look, last year also there was a degeneration, and the year before that as well. If currently Muslims are suffering in the dunya, last year also was the same, last year this time, and the year before that, and the year before that. Many a youngster in the masjid was born into conflict in the world. After the new millennium, respected friends and elders, those who were born in conflict. Muslims are being persecuted. Muslims are being tortured from the year 2001, consistently till now, and before that as well. But respected friends and elders, I would like to share with you a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will allow us to focus on ourselves. On one hand, there is global suffering, and yes, there's this cry, this plea in the hearts, that when will there be some Muslim ruler who will come and unite the ummah? Respected friends and elders, it all starts from ourselves. The great reformers of the past, the great revivals of the past had some reformer with them. There was a reformation within ourselves. كَمَا تَكُونُوا يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. As you are, that's the type of rulers you will get. The sunnah dua we hear from time to time in Tirmidhi Sharif, وَلَا تُسَلِّطْ عَلَيْنَا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا. Some add, بِذُنُوبِنَا مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمُنَا. Oh Allah, because of our sins, don't put such people in charge over us. Don't give us those such rulers who got no mercy for us. There's a direct link, respected friends and elders, between our actions and those above us. So the great revival started with reformation, and reformation within oneself. Kullukum ra'in, the hadith says, every one of you is in charge. Each one on a different scale. The leader of the country is in charge of the entire country and all his subjects. The man in the home is in charge of his home and his family. The wife is in charge of the home. And ulama explained at the end, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again repeated, kullukum, every one of you. If you don't have a family, You don't have people working for you. You've got nobody supposedly under you. Then how are you in charge? Ulama explain, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to this, that you are in charge of your body. You are in charge of your limbs. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyatihi. And each and every one of you is going to be questioned regarding what you were put in charge of. If you were the father, you're going to be questioned about your children, your wife and children. If you were the mother, you'll be questioned about the rights of your husband and your children. If you were somebody higher up, you'll be asked. And like I said, if you had nobody under you, but you had your limbs, you had your body, you had your life, you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected friends and elders, it all starts from ourselves. A hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Tabarani, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiyallahu anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا ظَهَرَ الْقَوْلُ وَخَزَنَ الْعَمَلُ. When there'll be more talk than action, وَأْتَلَفَتِ الْأَلْسُنُ وَتَبَاغَضَتِ الْقُلُوبُ. The tongues will be friendly, but the hearts will be full of hatred. وَقَطَعَ كُلُّ ذِي رَحِمٍ رَحِمًا. And when the family ties will be broken on all ends, there'll be no relationships remaining. When these three types of diseases will set into the Muslim community, what will happen? What will be the result of that? فَعِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. At that time, Allah will curse them. Allah will curse them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. And Allah will make them deaf and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them deaf and blind. Allah will make them deaf and blind. Doesn't necessarily mean the entire world will lose their sight or their ability to hear. No, respected friends and elders. But like a deaf man doesn't hear news, he doesn't hear things that can make any difference in his life. He can't hear the alim talking. He can't hear the recital of Quran. It makes no difference to him if that person is speaking or his mouth is closed, because he can't hear him. That will be the condition of the ummah. That there will be enough talk, but it will not penetrate the heart. It's like they have become deaf. A blind man can't take effect from the sight in front of him. If he is put in the middle of a disaster zone, it will make no difference to him. Put him there or put him in the masjid. He can't see. He can't take effect. There will be people in the ummah who will have the ability to see, but despite seeing, it will have no effect on them. لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. This is the result of Allah's la'nat. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Let's go back through this hadith, respected friends and elders. What are those wrongs that will result in such a widespread la'nat of Allah engulfing the ummah? Number one, ظَهَرَ الْقَوْلُ وَخَزَنَ الْعَمَلُ. There will be more talk than action. There was no other time in my life that there may have been so much more bayans, so much more messages, inspirational messages, so much more special programs and report backs and Islamic literature. There was never more before in my life than today, respected friends and elders. There is so much of talk, so much of talk, so much being said. But really, is it increasing us in our practice, in our amal? We often hear, and those of us who are of age will remember, that the elderly folk, the elders, our forefathers had less, they knew less, but they had more practice in their lives. They had more amal in their lives. They had more proper Islamic ethos and foundations in them. Today we know it all, respected friends and elders, but how much really are we practicing about? How much really are we practicing, respected friends and elders? We feel appeased. We feel satisfied that I got that good message, inspirational message. Let me share it with all my contacts. And we feel that is it. We feel that I have done my good for the day, so to say. No, respected friends and elders. Rather, before even passing it on, make amal on it. Because the purpose of sending it around is amal, not just to send it around. Because the person you then going to send it to will also do the same. He'll also just pass it on. Who's going to practice on this, respected friends and elders? The man initiating the message, the person forwarding it, doesn't even think of how I can link this to my life. There's so much of talk, but no walk. There's so much of talk and less action, respected friends and elders. Let us inspect in our lives. This is one of those three major causes for the la'nat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When despite knowing we fail to practice, despite knowing we don't do, ظهر القول وخزن العمل. Number two, respected friends and elders, وَأْتَلَفَتِ الْأَلْسِنَةِ وَتَبَاغَضَتِ الْقُلُوبِ. The tongues have become very sweet. The tongues are very sweet. We can talk very nicely face to face sometimes. We can send an inspirational message. But in the heart, people are filled up, respected friends and elders, filled up with hatred, filled up with indifference, filled up with rancor, jealousy, ill feelings towards each other. This is a great sin. This is a guna-e kabira for a person to cut off ta'alluq, cut off ties, or to have rancor in his heart and ill feelings in his heart for his fellow Muslim brother. This hadith is telling us that people will still be sweet on the tongues. Today even that has been lost. Even that is gone. You can't even talk to the man. You can't even reply to his salam. Sometimes it's with a fellow musalli. Sometimes it's with some family member, some business partner, a fellow Muslim, wherever he may be. Sometimes with your own blood brother or your own blood relative, respected friends and elders, man can't talk to him. What happened? What was that so important thing, so valuable, that because of that you slaughtered the dignity of your brother for the past 5 years, 10 years? What was so important and valuable that because of that you can't even see eye to eye to a fellow Muslim brother? And I am paraphrasing the hadith and I'll quote it after this. What was it so important, so serious, for which you committed murder? You committed murder. The hadith says, مَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ. Firstly, لا يَحِلُّ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يَهْجُرَ أَخَاهُ. Not permissible for a person to shun his fellow Muslim brother for more than 3 days. وَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. That person who shuns his fellow Muslim brother, the hadith does not say, unless it is because of money, unless it was because he took your parking space, unless it is because he never invited you, or he refused the proposal for his daughter. The hadith makes no exception, respected friends and elders, irrespective of what is the wrong. We are not justifying his wrong, but you got 3 days to make peace with yourself. 3 days to come to terms with the situation. You can claim, yes, but you got no right to shun him. He's your fellow Muslim brother. You can still claim your haq from him rightfully, but you can't sway him. You can't cut off ties with him. You can't stop replying to his salam, like is happening so frequently today. You can't abstain from attending even his janazah. The man is dead and gone and we haven't forgiven them. The hadith says, man hajara akhahu, that person who shuns his Muslim brother for 1 year, that it is as if he has killed him, as if he has committed murder. What was it, respected friends and elders, that was so important that we were prepared to commit something equivalent to murder? One alim was mentioning, there was one old man. One day he tells us, you know, they go to this particular address, gave the name of a particular man, a particular person. He says, go to this person and tell him I want to see him. Bring him with you. So he says, we went and we met that brother and we tell him, it is an elderly person in the hospice. He sent us to call you. If you are available, please come and meet him. So that person tried to excuse himself. He says, no, I'll find some time, some other time. So they told him, brother, it seems urgent. Why don't you come with us? So he went. This alim says, when we brought him to the hospice and to the bed of that elderly man, they both hugged and they cried for a long while. Not too long after that, the person who was sick passed away. So he says, after the janazah, I noticed this particular brother who I went to bring from that address. I noticed him there. So I went to meet him and ask him, brother, what happened on that day? Who was this person and why, you know, you were hugging and crying? So he says, this person who passed away is my brother. And I hadn't spoken to him for 20 years. 20 years I never speak to my blood brother. That was the time when we made up and we reunited. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave him tawfiq to make up, respected friends and elders. Many of us are not prepared to give it up. He says, and I asked him, this is even more shocking. He says, I asked him, what was it? What was that so serious thing for which you cut off ties with your own blood brother? 20 years you never spoke to him? He says, the answer he gave was so shocking. He says, Marana, coming to think of it, I can't even remember. I can't even remember why I stopped talking to my own fellow Muslim brother. And Deen tells us, brothers, even if you remember, no matter what it is secondary. وَأْتَلَفَتِ الْأَلْسُنُ وَتَبَاغَدَتِ الْقُلُوبِ. To have hearts full of hatred for each other is a cause of Allah's la'nat, respected friends and elders. Allah's curse. Don't we realize that we are maybe part of the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When a man is happy, he is happy, his riba-based home loan is approved. He's happy and he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing, he started a war with Allah. He's in riba and he's happy. That's a sign you've been cursed. That's a sign you've become deaf and blind. That's a sign you haven't heard the warnings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he becomes happy and he's pleased, his daughter has been accepted in a university. Irrespective of whether it's down the road or hundreds of miles away. She will be mixing, sleeping, staying with other people. He is happy, his daughter is going to be food for others. Allah save us. When he is happy, respected friends, and is this really the mercy of Allah? Is that something worth rejoicing that you've started a war with Allah with your riba? Is that something worth rejoicing? You've sent your daughter out into the open without even giving her the proper Islamic values. We are not speaking about exceptional cases. From the member, you don't address exceptions, respected friends and elders. The general norm has become this. We've become happy with wrong happening in our lives. We become happy when we were able to deprive someone of some good. We were happy when that person suffered a loss because I got baggage in my heart against him. Who becomes happy at the loss of a Muslim? Who becomes happy when a Muslim is suffering? A kafir. A kafir wants wrong to happen to a Muslim. La ya'lunakum khabala, Allah says. They always want harm to come to you. That's the way of the kuffar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wada made this plea to the ummah. La tarji'u ba'di kuffara. Don't become like the kuffar after me. Don't become like kuffar. يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضٍ, fighting with each other. Brother with brother, respected friends and elders. Hardly a week now passes. Hardly a week now passes when you don't hear of another dispute in some other family. And as I said, respected friends and elders, this is a gunai kabira. This is a major sin to cut off ties with your fellow Muslim brother, irrespective if it's your blood brother or a general musalli in the masjid. You shun him for more than 3 days, it's dakhal al-nar, the hadith says. If you die in that condition, the hadith didn't say, if you didn't reply to his salam because you didn't pay your debt, you didn't reply to his salam because, like I said, he stole your parking space, you didn't reply to his salam because he refused the proposal, then it's okay, you can die like that. No. No, respected friends and elders. The hadith is general. If you shun your Muslim brother for more than 3 days and die in that condition, you are suffering. You're going to go to Jahannam. دخل النار. This is a sign of a gunai kabira. Any sin in Quran and Hadith for which the warning is Jahannam is undisputed major sin. It's an undisputed major sin, respected friends and elders. We understand other sins to be wrong and major. We understand the sin of alcohol, the sin of drugs, the sin of zina. Imagine if a person lived in a community where the entire street were all drunkards. He lived in a community where the entire community were all zanis and fornicators. He lived in a community where all were murderers. How would he feel? Would he remain there? I ask you, respected friends and elders, that there is hardly a community where the sin is not found. There's hardly a street where there aren't people who have this ill feelings in their heart for fellow Muslims. Nay, there is hardly a home today that is safe from this sin. There is hardly a home that is safe from this gunai kabira, major sin. Then why won't it draw the la'nat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the hadith said, this is one of three things. At that time when it will happen, la'anahumullah, Allah will curse them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ, Allah will make them deaf. Meaning they will hear all the bayans, but it's like they never heard. Allah will make them blind. وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ, they can see. They will see the suffering in the ummah. They will see the millions and hear about the millions suffering in China. They will hear about the millions suffering in Rohingya. They will hear about the Muslims suffering in Sham, in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Throughout the dunya, respected friends and elders, in different parts of Africa, they will hear it. They will see those graphic pictures also. It will make no difference. It's like they never saw. It's like they were deaf and blind. When the ummah is suffering, the ummah is in flames for years and years, as I'm saying. For years of that, this is happening, respected friends and elders. And we are worried about the fact that the man turned down my proposal. We are worried about the fact that a man couldn't pay my debt despite it making no difference to me. No difference in my life, respected friends and allies. They never paid me my debt. I'm still living a normal life. When the ummah is crying, the ummah is suffering, respected friends and allies, isn't this a sign of the lanat of Allah upon us? When Muslims are dying of starvation, through terror, through natural disaster, Yemen, etc., we see those pictures. But we can go on feasting. We can go on a 5-course, 10-course, and 12-course meal. We're not even thinking what's happening to them. It may not be haram, respected friends and elders, but think within yourself, morally, is this right? Is this right that I feast on my table and Muslim brothers by the millions are suffering? One close friend of mine, a rich man, not because he can't afford it, he says, since this suffering has started and it came in my heart, he says, now I only have 2 meals a day. I only have 2 meals a day. That's his connecting with the ummah, respected friends and elders. It's not haram to eat. It's not haram to enjoy yourself. But think to yourself, how can I? كَيْفَ الْقَرَارُ وَكَيْفَ يَهْدَأُ مُسْلِمٌ Some said, this is the words of Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimahullah. How can a Muslim be at ease? How can he be at peace? وَالْمُسْلِمَاتُ مَعَ الْعَدُوِّ الْمُعْتَدِي When the Muslimas, his sisters in Islam, are being raped, are being violated, are being attacked by the enemy of Islam. أَبْضَارِبَاتُ خُدُودَهُنَّ بِرَنَّةٍ They are helpless, slapping themselves, crying in the court of Allah. Because there's nobody. How are you part of the struggle, respected friends and elders? How are we part of the struggle? When the hadith has mentioned that the Muslim ummah is like one body. One body, when one limb of the body is aching, the entire body is restless. When the hadith says the Muslims for each other, the Muslim ummah is like one building. Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan. Have you seen, because I haven't seen, a double-story house. One room people are dying of starvation and the rest of the house is merrymaking. One room the people are dying because of disease and whatever other reason and are suffering. And the rest of the house is rejoicing. The rest of the house is having 5 and 10 course meal. The rest of the house is wasting millions. Millions on weddings. Millions in their homes. Millions on their cars. Millions on their holidays. A holiday of 2 and 3 weeks is costing a couple of million rands. Have you seen that? That in the same home, this is happening? Alhamdulillah, there are many who are making an effort, definitely respected friends and elders. But let each one look within himself. Have I become part of the struggle of the ummah? Or what are we waiting for? Allah, save us, respected friends and elders. What are we waiting for when we are already, as we see, in the lanat of Allah? When already, as I mentioned, is a sign of Allah's lanat that you get happy when your interest-based loan is approved. You riba and you are happy, you are able to open another branch, or to build your home, or to buy a car. This is a sign that we are in the punishment of Allah. We are in the lanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَطَعَ كُلُّ ذِي رَحِمٍ رَحِمًا The third cause is when all ta'alluqat will be broken. There'll be no relationships maintained. All family ties will be broken. Respected friends and elders, there's enough of the Muslims being slaughtered in the world. Do we need to slaughter each other more? Why is it that a man can't maintain his ta'alluq with his own family? What came in between? It was that wealth which you were supposed to leave here. Wealth came and stopped you. That wealth is not going to help you to cross the full sirat. Family ties is going to help you. Family ties will be there by the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, man wasalani. Oh Allah, that person who maintained ties with me, you maintain ties with him. Oh Allah, that person who cut me off, who cut family ties in the dunya, you cut off his ties. This family ties will be at the arsh of Allah making this plea. Family ties will be on the sirat, the full sirat, respected friends and elders. Those who maintain family ties. For whatever the dispute may have been in this dunya, but for the sake of family they kept it up. That family ties will help him to cross the sirat. But if he chose to cut that ties because of that money, and because of some issue of the dunya, that is not going to help him to cross the Sirat. And rather, he didn't only cut off ties, he kept on slaughtering that person in absentia. He kept on slaughtering him, kept on speaking ill about him, bickering, giving over all his good to that person. What's going to be there to help us in the Akhirah, respected friends and Allah? Today the dunya has become such, shaitan has made such an effort in the dunya. Shaitan has made such an effort, respected friends and Allah, we don't even realize what we are doing is wrong. One person was mentioning this last week. He says there was one man in the community who was a good earner, mashallah, earning 5-6 million rand a year, approximately. They said, we approached him by, why don't you do some, khairat, why aren't you doing some good? Why aren't you spending on others? So he tells them, brothers, I got two elderly parents, and I got a disabled brother. So they start saying, okay, sorry, we didn't know about that. He says, I don't even give them. How am I going to give others? Brothers, this is a reality. It may have been a joke, but it's a reality. We've got no time. Not long ago, one elderly person, good man, better than me. I'm addressing here myself first, respected friends and elders. Speaking about his wealth, he was elderly, rahimahullah, he has passed away. In that discussion, he says, my one property I couldn't sell in a particular area. I wanted 20 million for it. I couldn't sell it. So I got a very good tenant. I'm getting 5 million a year. Now they're offering to buy it for 50 million. But what am I going to do with that money? I don't want to sell it. It's only one of his many properties. In the same discussion, respected friends and elders, he says, my sister, now because he was distant family, he thought maybe I knew. So he says, so and so. I said, no, I don't know. He said, no, she stays in this particular area. She sells samosas, man. She bought a flat. She's trying to pay off her flat. She's a widow. She sells samosas. Ya Allah. You just told me one of your property is 50 million and you got nothing to do with that money. And your sister is a widow, your blood sister. And she has to work and toil morning to evening to sell samosas to pay off a flat. How much would a person like that buy? What kind of a flat would she buy? 1 million? 2 million? It doesn't even strike you that my own family needs. Let me look here and here. It doesn't strike that this family relationship Allah has given us, respected friends and elders, is worth everything put together in this dunya. I'll leave you with one inspirational incident. Now before Ramadan, that there's still khair in the ummah. There is still good, alhamdulillah. And Allah has put this ability of good in every one of us here. Let us take inspiration, respected friends and elders. There was a person who was heavily in debt. His brother-in-laws became very worried. They were going to have a mashura and see what is the cause. In fact, some of them thought maybe it is some, bad habit, or maybe it's another wife he's got. How is it that he's got so much of debts? So when they sat, all the brother-in-laws got together. His brother also was called. So then they realized that, alhamdulillah, it wasn't because of some bad, habit of his. Rather, it was genuine. He went down in business and he was 5 million rand in debt. So his brother who was there says, that my brother was a partner with me in the business. We separated years ago. And my wife then became the second partner. But I don't mind. I'll take my brother back into the business. He is battling. I will take him back. I will give him a normal wage, a livable wage. And I will take over his entire debt. I will pay his 5 million rand debt. And I'll explain to my wife, he was supposed to buy a Ferrari. But we won't do that now. We rather pay his debt off, inshallah, and I'll take care of it. He says, I don't want to see my brother's soul suffering between the heavens and the earth. In other words, when he dies without settling his debts, I don't want him to suffer. Respected friends and elders. And that person, Mawana, says, this brother, apparently, he had no sign that he was a very pious man. But Allah gave him the heart of Iman, that he was able to tolerate some kind of adjustment to his worldly schedule. Which youngster growing up didn't want that Ferrari? Not only youngster, which elder still doesn't aspire for it? These toys for boys was right there in front of him, right there. And he says, I'm prepared to give it up and pay the debt of my brother. Because I don't want to see him suffering in the Akhirah. Respected friends and elders. This person deserves that we kiss his forehead. He's teaching us a lesson. What comes first, respected friends and elders? There was an elderly man in Isipingo Beach. Rahimahullah, he passed away. One night we visited him, myself and my father, and he gave us one incident. He says that I was in business, I was in partnership with a friend of mine, and I used to remain at base and he used to travel. Then because of his traveling, he took a second wife in the other town also. And then his expenses increased. And he began to draw more from the business. A time came and we had to call it quits. So he says, when we sat down and we worked out the hisab, he says, whatever little bit was left had to come to me. There was one car and there was some cash that all belonged to me. So when that came out, he says, my friend began to cry. So I asked him, what happened? He says, no, I got two families to support and I'm walking away with nothing. What am I going to do? So this person, his elderly uncle, rahimahullah, says, he says that I told him, you know what? You can have it all. Take this car that is left and whatever cash is left, take all. But on one condition. What would have been that condition, respected friends and elders? Payable when able, or whatever else, something in that line. He says, one condition, that our ta'alluq and our relationship must not break. Don't let money come between me and you. Take it all, but we must remain friends. He says that, Maana, we remain friends till he died. Till he passed away. And at his janazah, the son tells me, uncle, you take him down. You kept it up with him till the end. This is iman, respected friends and elders. We don't let things of the world come between us. Between fellow Muslims. Let alone between blood brothers. Not let alone between blood brothers, respected friends and elders. And one can't see the other progressing. And it makes no difference to me. I have got whatever I need in my life. But why is he getting so much more? Two brothers fought in front of me several years ago. Two brothers, one comes and headbutts the other. Elderly. The one brother is bleeding from his eye. What are they fighting about? Where's my money? Where's my money? And then he says, and you're going for Hajj and Umrah, you can't pay me. Both were wrong here, respected friends and elders. For money, you spilled the blood of your brother. And the other, you can't pay your debts, but you can go for Hajj and Umrah. You can't pay your debts, but you can open one branch after another. You can't pay your debts, but you can flesh a new car every 6 months. No, respected friends and elders. This is what is leading to the degeneration of the ummah. Let us take lesson from what's happening around us. Recap the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا ظَهَرَ الْقَوْلُ وَخَزَنَ الْعَمَلُ. When there'll be more talk and less action. We'll know it all but do nothing. وَأْتَلَفَتِ الْأَلْسُنُ وَتَبَاغَضَتِ الْقُلُوبُ. You will be sweet on the tongue, but the hearts will be full of enmity, hatred, rancor. وَقَطَعَ كُلُّ ذِي رَحِمٍ رَحِمًا. And family ties will be broken on all ends. On all ends, father with son, brother with brother, brother with sister, mother with daughter. Family ties will be cut and there will be no relationships maintained. Like we find increasing day by day, respected friends and elders. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when these three things will happen, فَإِنْدَ ذَلِكَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will curse them. Allah will curse the ummah. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ. Allah will make them deaf. وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah will take away their... Allah will make them blind. In other words, they will hear, but it will make no difference like they were deaf. They will see what's happening in the dunya, it will make no difference like they are blind. Allah save us, respected friends and elders. Beginning of a new year. Yes, but let us take stock within ourselves. Let the reform come in my life first. Let me make the change, respected friends and elders. Let me take lesson from what's happening in the rest of the ummah. Let me be part of the struggle of the ummah, respected friends and elders. Then we can claim something on the day of qiyamah. That being part of the struggle, yes, it will be via financial help, it will be via du'as, it will be via making adjustments in our lives. Show that you are part of the ummah. Stop the wastage that is taking place in the ummah, respected friends and elders. And by financial help, I will take this opportunity half a minute more. That together with our zakat, respected friends and elders, give your lillah for the sake of Allah. Give nafil charity for the sake of Allah as well. I asked one close friend of mine, zakat in the millions. I asked him, is your lillah matching your zakat? We were discussing the exorbitant amounts being spent on holidays. And the amount of wastage in a man's personal life. He says, he was a friend who I could ask this question. He says, no, it hasn't been. It's not matching. I said, then that's the problem. That's why. Why it's not matching? Because you need to go for that million rand holiday. You need to spend a couple of million on the wedding. You need to change your car every 6 months. That wealth was for the ummah. Use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And especially in a time like this, respected friends and elders. Before, we read five times daily salat. Before every salah. And some after the salah. There's nafil. There's voluntary as well. To protect the faras. Two rakats of fajr. Before there is two rakats sunnah. Four rakats of zuhr. Before it is four and after it is two plus two. Four rakats of asr. Before it is four.
3 rakats of Maghrib, after it is 2 plus 2. 4 rakats of Isha, before it is 4, and after it is so many more. What is the lesson here? That you don't just stick to the farz, respected friends, and Allah, your zakat you have to give. But nafil charity will protect that zakat. If your nafil charity will increase, respected friends and elders, naturally the extravagance in your life also should be decreasing. Imam Shu'bah rahimahullah saw a person one day wearing new clothes. He asked him, how much did you pay? He said, 8 dirhams, which is nothing. 8 dirhams. He said, shame on you. You should have paid 4 dirhams and bought yourself clothes and given 4 dirhams in charity. So many of the Salaf taught us this lesson, that whatever they did, they used on themselves, they used on the rest, respected friends and elders. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhru da'wana.